This morning's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, and we're starting at verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." And the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said all this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew, became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches." And again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we continue today in our series, A Twist in the Tale, the parable of the mustard seed and of the yeast. Now, a confession here. I'm not sure that there is a twist in the tale. It's kind of come beforehand in the reading where Jeff started. Because we heard the story of how Jesus heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath. Shock, horror. Doing so-called work on the Lord's day. And then we heard how leaders, the leader of the synagogue, and the opponents of Jesus were indignant. Now, in terms of public enemies number one of Jesus, it tended to be the Pharisees and Sadducees, didn't it? And the chief priests and teachers of the law. Basically all of the religious community. Elsewhere, Jesus talks in terms of the yeast, about beware the yeast of the Pharisees. So in that particular parable, he's presenting a slightly different perspective on what yeast can and should be. Not the bad influence of the Pharisees, but the good influence that we might bring to bear. What about the parable of the mustard seed? I thought about buying a packet of mustard seeds, and it seemed a bit of a waste just for one seed. So just imagine for a moment that here I am holding a mustard seed. Some of you will have seen them. They are very small, aren't they? And probably if I were holding one, you couldn't actually see it anyway from where you're sitting. But the mustard seed is tiny. It is insignificant. And yet, like so many other seeds, it is amazing. In the mustard seed is all the information that's required to grow a plant that is exponentially bigger than the seed. And what's more, the mustard seed can lead to the creation of many more seeds. that lead to many more plants and more seeds and more plants. And so it continues. Just plant the seed in soil containing assorted minerals, add water and light, and a plant will grow. As I said, it is amazing. And God has given us this seed. And Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a seed, like a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds on earth, Mark's gospel tells us. Plant the tiny, insignificant mustard seed, and it will grow into the largest of all garden plants and provide shelter for birds to enjoy its shade. It doesn't necessarily need tending. It just needs planting, and it will grow. And so it is with the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage you this morning that the seeds that you sow can make a difference. We can think that what we do is insignificant. It may seem to make no discernible difference that we can see. And yet quietly, surely, the kingdom of God is growing. The growth is not our responsibility. I repeat that. The growth is not our responsibility, though sometimes we think it is. We just have to plant the seed. Now, all three of the so-called synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, include the parable of the sower and also, as it happens, the parable of the mustard seed. And the parable of the sower, which we visited a couple of times in recent weeks, tells us that some of the seeds we plant will not grow at all. That they will just get swallowed up by Satan or taken away by the devil, as it says in one version. Some will grow quickly, but not put down roots, and will shrivel and die. Some get choked by the things of the world, like seed falling among weeds. And these things are disappointing. And we might think, well, why bother if all of these things are going to happen to our seeds? Why bother scattering them, planting them in the first place? And the answer comes back from the parable. Because if we didn't, we would not have the joy of seeing some of the seeds being fruitful and multiplying 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. We just have to plant the seed. Let me ask, what seeds are you planting among your family, your friends, your colleagues? It could be a word in season, you know, an encouragement for them when you know that life is tough for them. It could be the promise to pray. It could be a reminder that you believe that God is there for them, even though they don't know it and may not believe in the God that is there for them. And these things may seem insignificant. They may not bring any growth that you can see. But I want to encourage you to keep planting that seed. A friend of mine longed, in the way perhaps many of us long as well, longed for his son to come to know the Lord. His son had all the benefits of growing up in a home with Christian parents, but he just didn't get the Christian faith. His mum and dad kept planting the seed, encouraging and praying and seeing no response at all. Their son grew up, married, had children of his own. Then, out of the blue, the son phoned up to talk to his dad. And his dad picked up the phone. And the son said, "Dad, I've become a Christian. I get it now." And it was around Easter time. His son had been watching one of the old Easter films, you know, that tend to be what BBC or whoever puts on the screen at that time of the year. And as he was watching this film about Jesus and about his crucifixion, he just started crying, and the light dawned. The seed that had been planted from the beginning of his life had finally grown and yielded fruit. So, a word I suspect for many of us here who are parents and others too. Don't give up. Keep planting. Keep praying. It is significant. What about the seeds that we are planting as a church? Is Sunday worship a seed? Well, it has to be, doesn't it? Providing a place for people to come, inviting them to come and share with us. Children's and youth work? Well, definitely. Monthly lunches? Yes. Absolutely. Renew Cafe? Of course, they are all about planting faithfully. And like the farmer or the gardener, we can't make things grow. We can just try and provide the right conditions and put in the seed and trust that they will. In the parable of the growing seed that appears in Mark chapter 4, a man scatters seeds on the ground. Then the seed grows by itself, although the man doesn't know how, we're told. And Jesus concludes, the kingdom of God is like that. When seed grows, we can't explain how and why. We just know it does, and we can celebrate God at work. Let's think a little more about the growth of the mustard seed and the kingdom of God. It grows, yes, into the largest of garden plants. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew's version of this story, it becomes a tree. And birds can perch in its shade. And that's very much a picture from the Old Testament, an image that would have been familiar to Jesus' disciples. In the Old Testament, King Nebuchadnezzar, remember him? Babylon. He has a dream of a tree that grows strong and large, and it has beautiful leaves, and its leaves are abundant, and it provides food for all. Animals find shelter under this tree and birds live in its branches. He calls Daniel to interpret the dream. And Daniel explains that the king is the tree, providing shelter for his people. Ezekiel, who, like Daniel, is also in exile in Babylon, pictures the Assyrian Empire that was once like a cedar in Lebanon, giving shelter to the nations, like that dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Actually, both Daniel through his interpretation and Ezekiel through his vision are giving a warning. Nebuchadnezzar must mend his ways and go back to sheltering the oppressed, or he will fall. The empire of Assyria has already fallen because it became too proud of itself. It forgot its role as a place of shelter for others, and now it has no branches left to provide any shelter. But Jesus gives the contrast. From small beginnings, the kingdom of God grows massively and provides a place for all to shelter under its branches and perch in its shade. How does the church embody the kingdom of God? There can be a tendency for churches to lose sight of the kingdom and instead to indulge even in building empires. And I think that churches can be empire building or kingdom building, but not both. The empire building, it seems to me, seeks its own glory. It's all about what they have done, what we have done. The kingdom building church seeks the glory of God. It's about what God is doing and doing it with him. In the empire building church, individuals like to hold power and receive recognition. In the kingdom building church, people don't look for power or recognition. Although a bit of encouragement won't go amiss, but they seek the greater good. The empire-building church looks for success. Look what we've done. Look at our numbers, etc. The kingdom-building church is more concerned with significance than success. What is lasting for the duration? What is of long-term significance? The empire-building church may be into domination over other people. But the kingdom-building church exercises God-given dominion for the benefit of all. The empire-building church tends to shelter only people like us under its leaves, or people who will become like us. The kingdom-building church welcomes all people to shelter under its leaves and in its branches. This is the kind of picture that I believe Jesus is showing here in this parable of the mustard seed. We might ask the question, how are we doing then? How are we doing in providing shelter for all people? John Wesley, founder of the Methodist movement, was keen to shelter as many as possible. He said, "I have no more right to object to a man holding a different opinion from mine than I have to differ with a man because he wears a wig and I wear my own hair." Not quite sure how to feel about that illustration, wearing neither wig nor much hair. But his common greeting, Wesley's common greeting to people was, "Is your heart as my heart? Then give me your hand. Is your heart as my heart? Then give me your hand." I like that. So how are we fulfilling our kingdom call to provide shelter and safety and welcome for all? How are those little mustard seeds that we plant making a difference? I had a rather lovely picture coming together, I think, on Friday. Because on Friday morning, when this place is a school, of course, I had the great privilege, as I have done many times before, sorry, I'm stepping away from my microphone that's not going to pick me up, of coming in to be part of the harvest assembly. And so I was standing kind of along here. Some of the kids did a little sort of play on words. We had cauliflowers Fluffy and the Harvest Samba. Yeah, some of you know those. I've had those since the year dot, I think, ever since I've been coming in to do harvest assemblies here. And sometimes, you know, I must admit, I don't know what difference it makes coming in to plant that seed. Excepting this time, I thought, what on earth am I going to do in my harvest assembly? And I thought, what did I do 5-6 years ago? And I found an assembly that I'd done 5 years ago. I thought most of the children will have moved through the school by now. And so I set it up with the teacher who I was in touch with. I sent this to her and she says, "Oh yeah, I remember that from 5 years ago. It was really good to do that." So I thought, well, bing, that's a kind of tick, isn't it? An affirmation. So we did this assembly and it went fine, actually. But actually, that wasn't so much the coming together, because one of the lovely things that that the school did was that they invited residents of Lacehill Manor Care Home just down there to come in and be part of their assembly. Now, many of them wouldn't be well enough to come, and they haven't got that many residents so far anyway. So I think there were two of them that came with a couple of staff, including Carol, that some of us have met last Sunday when we were there taking the second of our what are going to be regular monthly services there. And some of us met the month before when we were in the first time. And I just thought, how lovely to have different parts of our community coming in. Someone from Well Street United Church, nearly said Lace Hill United Church, perhaps we should be that, but from Well Street United Church and from into Lace Hill Academy where we meet, and then having some other residents from the community. Little seeds coming together to bring community, maybe to bring a little bit of growth. We don't know what difference our seeds will make. But we plant them in faith, don't we? But believing that they will make a difference and will bring growth. So we need to keep on. We are called, I believe, to keep on planting seeds of the kingdom. Seeds of welcome. Seeds of acceptance. Seeds of love, which all form a part of the gospel of Christ. Let's not forget that Jesus welcomed some very unexpected and by others very rejected people. And I think the moment we stop planting these seeds, but maybe still continue with the activity, we slip from kingdom building to empire building. We need to remember it's the kingdom that we build. Revelation 22 gives a great vision of the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. It pictures the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. On each side of the river stands the tree of life, from which, remember, human beings were excluded after our sin that's related in Genesis chapter 3. But now, at the fulfillment of all things, at the end of time, in the presence of the Lamb, we read there in Revelation 22 that all are included in God's kingdom. For the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So by God's grace, remember that little tiny seed, by God's grace, the seeds of the kingdom which you are planting, which I am planting, which we together are planting, grow into trees that grow leaves, that bring healing to all who need it, including us. So I want to encourage you to keep planting and be a part of God's amazing kingdom growing. Amen.